Let's see over here the Maral. Okay, let's go to the Maral. The Maral on page 395. The Maral of Hoya Beis Yaakov Eish. The Maral on page 395. The Hoya Beis Yaakov Eish. Son-in-law. Who is the son-in-law? When is the yard set of the Goyim?
I don't know.
What? The Hoya Beis Yaakov Eishu Veis Yosef Lehava Beis Esav Lekash Rishon Shal Pesach Hushu Ascholas Havayos Olam Kihu Chodesh Aviv Uvezman Hazeroy Levatel HaPesoyles Min HaOlam. Okay, the first day of Pesach is the day of renewal. Okay, we're now holding Erev Pesach. Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So today is a very big day. Today is the last day of day of the year almost. Tomorrow is
Yom Kippur Katan, no?
Right. Today is the Yom Kippur Katan. It's the last Yom Kippur Katan for a long time because you can't have Yom Kippur Katan Chodesh Nisan.
Just one month.
There are 4 months when there's no Yom Kippur Katan. One of them is Nisan. So today, but also Rosh Chodesh is the new year. It's Rishonu Lechem L'chotche Hashana. So today is the second to last day of the year. Okay, the second to last day of the year. Here it says that when we come to the new year, Rishon Shel Pesach Shuas Cholas Havayish Ha'olam Kihu Chodesh Ha'aviv V'zman Azer Roy Levatel Apsilas Min Olam Var Oisai Kavoy Ha'so'or V'hechomitz. When you start something new, it's fitting to remove all of the psoilas, all of the impurities. And the impurities of the world are compared to chametz, yeast. The yeast is what we call the sorsha be'isa. It's a remez, it's a mashal, a metaphor for the yetzer hara. Ulekach, b'zuchus, b'yam ha'rishon, shu hashbosas ha'se'or, shu psoilas, u'ma'avir mo'yseh min ha'olam, On the first day of Pesach, when we renew our existence through the covenant with Hashem, we obliterate the zecher of Amalek, which is the psoilas, and all of that is alluded to in this pasuk that we learned yesterday. This is very abstract. It's very vague what he's trying to say. I don't really understand it. And, you know, let's just leave it with that. Pesach is...
Why are you starting with this?
Why? Exactly. There are a lot of questions which need to be explained. They need to be elaborated upon. And this is the Derech of the Maral. The Maral is very abstract. He opens up, it's open for interpretation, that's why many people are attracted to the Maral, because it allows you to make out of him yourself. It allows you to mold yourself, to mold him in your image. Anything that's abstract allows itself that. So here it's a very vague. What exactly does this pasuk have to do with the first day of Pesach? Number two, Amalek. We associate the destruction of Amalek with Purim, not with the first day of Pesach. And the Maral here is not addressing Yosef. He's addressing Yaakov. Yaakov, okay, we consider Yaakov was his existence. Klal Yisrael comes, matures on Lel Pesach, and that's you can say that Yaakov matures on all the Moadim. I guess Lel Pesach is the beginning, and at that moment in time is when Esav has to depart.
But he seems to be relating it to
the Chometz,
to creation.
Okay.
The beginning of creation.
Okay.
Right? So at the beginning of creation,
Is that what he's saying? There was no psoilus, or we removed psoilus?
Now, in order to, future, when everything, the order is going to be completely different, the old order has to be wiped out, the new order has to come in, then you wipe out the solace of the world, and then you're left with things as they were at the time of Briyasa Olam.
Well, where do you see Briyasa Olam in this?
What he said.
Yeah.
He just said it.
I don't see it.
Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the world.
That's how he started out with.
The world
so
begins.
Do you want to say that means the Briyas HaOlam?
Correct. The world was created according to Rabbi Yoshua in Chodesh Nisan. And according to Rabbi Eliezer in Chodesh Tishrei. And Chazal tell us, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Hashem drew up the plans in Chodesh Tishrei. And it came forth in reality in Chodesh Nisan. So two worlds, only one world. One world is complicated enough. Don't make it more complicated than it is. There's only one earth. Okay. Okay. It is true. Obviously, the world has been renewed, and when the world is in the state of renewal, that means we have to dismiss anything that is soilless. Who is the psoilus? Esav. Esav is the cash. Yaakov.
And any Brishoyim, really.
You also do it that way, Lahava, because you're doing Agala. You're doing the...
What?
Legal. You're doing the legal.
All right, let's go further. Let's look at the Chomus Anach Lechida. Pasuk Yudches, in the Chida. 395. That we learned yesterday. There are four things compared to fire. Torah is compared to fire. The Shekhinah is compared to fire. What would we say? The Torah is compared to fire. The Shekhinah. And Klal Yisrael is fire. Yisrael and the Torah. Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kutsha Brichu, the old fire. And then what's next? Gehenim is fire. Gehenim is the seviva. It is the protection of a person. Is nichshol. A person touches the chut hamishulish of Yisrael. The rice kosher bichu. Then he suffers gehenim. Here the chaimus nach touches upon that chazal where he says efshar the atoyra nimshol leish v'anachnu nigolim nigol zeh bischus hatoyra v'zeh she'amar v'hoya veis Yaakov eish. To the next page 397. The Al Yidei Esek HaTorah HaNimshola LeEish, only in the Zuchus of the study of Torah, which is compared to fire, the Gam Bischus Yosef De Echov Osulorov Hu Pisam the Chilklam Kiyar HaMelech. There's another Zuchus, he says over here, this is very, very interesting. In the Zuchus of Tzedakah. Basically, tzedakah. That seems what he seems to say in the zchus of tzedakah, that Yosef was mefayis. His brothers were terrified that he would take revenge, and instead of Yosef taking revenge against his brothers, he was mefayis them. He appeased them. He told them, "Do not worry. I will take care of you." And he supported them. Yosef was the masbir. And v'upisam the chilkalem kiyar hamelech l'chein. Therefore, beis Yosef tilahet lehava. As base Esav Shukash, the lo yes sorid leves Esav, there will no longer be any survivor for Esav, Lchmosh Am, Bepsikta, Betam, the Esav Neifel, Biad, Bonechashal Rachel, Adain Sham. Look there for more of an elaboration. Inami, that's one interpretation. Inami, the Gunda, the Esav, Sitra, Achra, Arba, Meos Ish. The Gunda of Esav. What's the Gunda? I think it means like the personality. Okay, the Esav is the Sitra Achra Arba Meosish. Ulechain Beis Esav Lakash Kash Gematria. Okay, this is typical of the Chidah telling us Gematrias. Kash is Bigematria 400. Look at that, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, which base.
What?
Kufshin.
Kash.
Yes, right.
Kash. Ubeis Esav is Lakash. When Yaakov Avinu, he met up with Esav, he was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because he got a report. Arba meois ish imoy. 400 men were coming towards Yaakov. 400 men. What's the number 400? It's the largest letter in the Aleph Beis, the letter Tav. And here he says, that's why this pasuk says, Ubeis Esav is Lekash. Kash is Kuf, is 100, Shin is 300, total of 400. That's Esav. When Esav comes, he comes with everything he got. He comes with everything. Everything is the number 400. Let's go further. We'll explain a little bit more in a moment. Arba meos v'hayu kolo v'hayu kolo v'hayu. The pasuk says they will cease to exist. V'dolku b'chem b'cholom v'zev v'lo yesodid l'veis esav ki hu v'sitra dilei yoivdu min ha'olam. They will be destroyed. Okay, let's review. Well, there are two different inyanim in this chida. Number one, in what zichus will we merit to overcome? Esav. He basically says two things, the combination of two things, Torah and Tzedakah. And it's very, very interesting because that's really true. That's what you can really say about this generation. Our generation, if you want to say there are two midos, in my humble opinion, is these two things that this generation excels in, is that there's never been a ribuy of Torah like there is now in Golos. The amount of learning that is going on is unreal all over the world. Look, even here out in the hall, you have these big, massive posters, Adopt a Kolo. I mean, whether people are giving money or not, I don't know. But just the fact that we see such a thing, that this is just a sign of the times. The ribuy of Torah, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, is awesome. And tzedakah, the people who, the amount of tzedakah that is being given, Rahman al-Islam, there's a lot of needs, there are a lot of poor people, a lot of nitzrochim, there are a lot of organizations which do very good work, which need a lot of money, and we hear incredible philanthropy. We hear about it. There's a lot of tzedakah that's given, and this pasuk says, these are the two things that are absolutely necessary to bring an end to the galus of Edom. V'hoya beis Yaakov eish. There are people in Klal Yisrael who identify with Yaakov. Their job is eish. Torah is fire. And there are people in Klal Yisrael who their thing is money. They're out here in the business world. They're out there in the professional world. They're making money. And v'hoya beis Esav, beis Yosef lehava. Lahava, what was the mila of Yosef? Yosef, Ayachalkel es Echov. He was Mephayes, his brothers. He said to his brothers, do not worry. Even though it appears that you're in a desperate situation here, you're strangers in a land that's not yours, and you don't have Parnasa, and you're worried that you've done something wrong and you are deserving of punishment. He was Mephayes them. He sustained them. And the Chida's words are, Kiyad Hamelech, Lechosar Dovar. Everything that they needed, they had. It's an incredible thing. This combination of these two things, what is going to be necessary in order to bring the Gula in order that Esav will be Lekash. That's the Soid number one. Number two, fascinating thing. We read this pasuk so many times. It never occurred to me that the word Kash is Bigamatria 400. And when Esav, for the very first time, presents himself as a threat to Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov was returning to his mother and father in Eretz Canaan, and he encounters Esav, it says Esav came with Arba Meos Ish Imoi, 400 men. The number 400 is not just a number; it represents who Esav is. Esav comes with the letter Tav, everything that he got. We always like to say over here that there are two letters that Chazal always used to refer to. Exaggerations, hyperbole. What are they? 300 and 400. Sometimes when Chazal give exaggerations, they say there was 300 core of ash on the Mizbeach. And sometimes when they give exaggerations, they use the number 400. When do you use the number 300? When do you use the number 400? So I always like to say is, 300, if you look very carefully, you'll notice it's always used in reference to an exaggeration relating to a davar ruchni, something spiritual. And every time Chazal give an exaggeration relating to something physical, material, olam hazeh, it's the number 400. And if you'll study different examples, you'll see that this really, it's a chut, it's an idea which appears to be consistent, appears to run through many of Mamari Chazal. Esav is kuloi gashmi. Esav took oilam hazeh. That was the discussion between him and Yaakov and whatever, all various midrashim. Esav wanted to have this world. Oilam hagashmi, the most you can have is the letter Tav. And that's why when Esav comes, he comes with 400 people. Yaakov Avinu, when we come with spirituality. And the most you can have in the spiritual world is 300. And that is why on our tefillin, what letter is there?
Shin.
The letter Shin. It represents the most you can have. Two shins, right?
Shakai.
Well, okay, there are many, there are 100 interpretations. The simple reason why there's a shin, it's spelled Shakai. But besides that, what's the significance of the letter Shin on the tefillin? The Shin represents the crown of Klal Yisrael. What's our crown? We got it all. The most is 300. Okay, I don't have on the tip of my tongue all different examples of the number, but there's a lot. There are a whole bunch of them of 300 and 400. When Chazal give exaggerations, 300, 400, take a look. 300, you'll see there's a chut. There's an element of spirituality in that number. And when we're dealing with the number 400, we're dealing with something which is purely mundane, something physical, material, and the proof to that is Esav comes with 400, and we wear the tefillin, v'rohu kol amei ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikro lecha v'yadu mimeka. They see the shin on our tefillin, they see that we have achieved greatness in the spiritual world, which is captured in the number shin. Okay, let's go now to the next. Okay, so these are the two beautiful ideas that we take out of the Chaimus Anach. It's really good, unbelievable stuff. The Chaimus Anach is always a winner.
These days is more than in the time of Talmud Bavli.
What?
Talmud Bavli.
What about the Talmud Bavli?
They have so much knowledge.
No, impossible. The Tanoim, the people who, the Tanoim Amorim, the people that were learning in the time of the Talmud, when the Talmud Bavli was written with the first 500 years after the Chaimus Rishon, these were people who were beyond our understanding. These are holy people. These are people that we can't even fathom. You want to talk about numbers of people?
No, the learning of Torah. On
how
that
much
time was
learning?
Not much done this time.
I have no idea what how many people were learning. The numbers. We have no idea. One thing is this quality and quantity. Okay, so. One person living then, I assume, was equal to many, many, many thousands, tens of thousands of people in Torah, in the quality of Torah, and most importantly, in the Yirah Shemayim that is necessary relative to what we have today. There's a very famous story from the Gro, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon lived not that long ago. How long ago did he live? 200 years ago. Right, 300 years ago, so the Vilna Gaon said, now he was a genius of geniuses, there was almost no one like him. He didn't belong when he lived, he belonged probably back in who knows when, time of the Avos, the Vilna Gaon, a mind like his, and the Yerushalayim, the stories, the tradition that we have about his greatness, and he would say that putting all humility aside, this is what he would say, something along these lines, he can have a taste, he could have a taste of what it was like to be a Tana. Now, that's a pretty bold statement for someone to say that. Someone living 300 years ago to say that he has a taste of what it's like to live in the time of the Tanoim. But he went on to say, but to fathom what it was like to be a water carrier, meaning the lowest level Jew alive in the time of the Nevi'im, he has no hasaga. He can't even begin to fathom the level of spirituality. The simplest Jew who was a water carrier in the time of the Nevi'im, what went through his mind, what kind of life he lived. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. So what does that leave for us? What's left over for us?
Dor de'a.
We have rachamim here. What?
Emav dor de'a. Dor de'a, Moshe
Rabbeinu. Dor de'a, what?
We each live in our own time.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to be happy with what you got. Exactly. Make the best out of what you have and be happy with what you have. You said it. You really said it good. 100%. Okay, now we've pretty much done this pasuk. It's a big simcha. We've gone through this very, very incredible pasuk. Now we go to the pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, new pasuk. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We did. I'm sorry, what I'm saying. We did Tes Zayin. I'm sorry, what am I saying? Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk this. V'yarshu ha-negev es-har Esav. Okay, so now we go further in our description. We're almost finished. There's not much more to finish up the sefer. Maybe we'll finish tomorrow. We'll see. We'll maybe... V'yarshu ha-negev es-har Esav. The Negev will inherit har Esav v'ha-shefela es-pelishtim. The shefela means the lowlands. They will inherit... Now, this refers over to the Jews. The Jews who are living in the Negev. They will inherit har Esav. V'ha-shefela, the Jewish people who are living in the lowlands, they will inherit es-pelishtim. The Yarshu, and they will inherit es-sidei Ephraim. The es-sidei Shomroin. And there will be those who will inherit the field of Ephraim. We'll see what that means in a moment. And the field of Shomroin. Shomroin was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim. Ephraim also obviously refers to the Aseres HaShvatim. And then it says, Uvin Yamin, they will inherit Es HaGilot. Okay, a lot going on over here. Let's see the Mitzvot of Pasuk Yitzhak on the bottom. On page 396, V'yarshu HaNegev, Beis Yaakov, Haniska B'mikra, Shalofonov. Who is the subject? Does not tell us who the subject is. So Mitzvot tells us we're going over to Yaakov, who was mentioned in the previous Pasuk. They were him, Yirshu Es HaNegev, they're going to inherit the Negev, which is going to be the south. The Choyzer before it is just Har Esav. What's the south? The south is Shehu Bidroima. The Yerushim. So I made a mistake. I told you a different pshat. See, I told you the Negev means the Jews living in the Negev. That's not what the Mitzudos David says. The Mitzudos David says the Yerushim period. They, the Jews, Beis Yaakov, will inherit the land that is to the south of Eretz Yisrael. What is in the south of Eretz Yisrael? The pasuk then goes on to explain Har Esav. No, Mitzrayim is really to the west. We can, to the west. We consider it southwest. Okay, even though it's south, even though really it's southwest, yet when the pasuk refers, it's just a certain amount of perception or terminology. Wait, right, let's hold off on that for one moment. But let's read the pasuk for now. According to the Mitzudos, the Yarshu, you have to put a period after the word the Yarshu. They will inherit. Who is the subject of they? The answer is the people mentioned in the previous pasuk, Beis Yaakov. They will inherit. Question, what will they inherit? Answer, the Negev, the south. What's the south? What is the south? The pasuk continues to define what is the south. It's Har Esav. Har Esav is the south. Next, it's Har Esav. According to the Mitzudos, what else will the Jewish people inherit? What else is the word v'yarshu, should it be applied to? V'yarshu, they will inherit. What will they inherit? They will inherit the shvela. Gab yirshu es ha-shvela. And what is the shvela? What is the lowland? The shvela is the land of the Pelishtim. V'choyze b'farish es Pelishtim, ki eretz Pelishtim choyze b'shvela. The land of the Pelishtim is in the lowlands.
The coastal plains,
which means the west, right? Right, the west. Is that what it means? Okay. Let's go further. Then it goes on to say, "Es sedei Ephraim, ki bimei Yahushua lo yarshu ki im har Ephraim, v'lo yachlu lo hirish es emek the valley, ki rechev barzel loy k'may shenem arsham." It says in Sefer Shoftim that the Pelishtim had chariots of Barzel. And these chariots of Barzel prevented Klal Yisrael from inheriting, from possessing the Sedei, the field, or the Emek, the Sedei Ephraim. So he's coming here to give us some fascinating insight into history and into what will be in the future. And the terminology is also very, very interesting. We know that there was a place called Har Ephraim. Har Ephraim. There are two different regions in Eretz Yisrael. One is called Har Ephraim, and one is called Sedei Ephraim. Har Ephraim was captured by the Jews who entered into Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yahushua. But the Sede Ephraim was not. That was never conquered. Now today, do we have possession of it? Probably. I would imagine that today everything in Eretz Yisrael is under our sovereignty, totally, at least on the west side, except for part of Yerushalayim, but on the west side of Eretz Yisrael, I mean, it's all ours, right? Pretty much all ours, as far as I know. So it says here, so whatever this means, it means. Okay, I don't know exactly how, but he's saying over here, at least it's very interesting to understand this terminology, two different regions, the Har Ephraim and the Sede Ephraim. The Har Ephraim was already conquered, but the Sede Ephraim was not conquered. If you want to talk in homiletic terms, you can explain it to mean that, you know, when you conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, you're not just conquering territory, physical territory. You are conquering, it's a spiritual accomplishment. Eretz Yisrael is not America. It's not just you go and you tell the Indians to get lost and you take their land. You only succeed in conquering a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael if you have conquered the Yetzer Hara that piece of territory represents. Every land, every inch of Eretz Yisrael represents a nesoyin, represents a spiritual battle. And when Klal Yisrael, when they achieve greatness in the spiritual world, when they mature spiritually through learning and through davening, that gives them the power to conquer the actual physical territory. So in the time of Yeshua's conquest, the Jewish people did not achieve shleimus. They were not able to conquer the Sede Ephraim. There was some spiritual battle in us that was, we failed. There was some nisoyon that we were unable to succeed. We were only able to conquer whatever the spiritual world was, the Har Ephraim, not the Sede Ephraim. So today you'll argue, well, today we have everything, right? So what is this pasuk referring to? This pasuk is telling us, according to the Mitzudos, the day will come, when Mashiach will come, then we will first be able to conquer the Sede Ephraim. So you'll say to me, Mashiach already came, because today, wherever this thing called Sede Ephraim, we could assume, wherever it is somewhere in the main part of Eretz Yisrael, that we already possess. Let's make believe that we can identify where the Sede Ephraim is, and let's make believe that today that's not contested. Everyone agrees that it's our territory. So Mashiach must have come. So what's Pshat in the Mitzudos? The answer is it doesn't just mean that when Mashiach will come, we will conquer the physical land. It means we will conquer the spiritual element of that land represents. Because in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, that is clear as day, it wasn't just a physical battle. When Hashem will climb Yisrael into the Holy Land, you're only going to succeed in conquering the territory if you are deserving to conquer it on a spiritual level. The spiritual and the physical war, they parallel one another. At that point in time, we were unsuccessful. When Mashiach will come, then it will happen, the Yarshu es Sede Ephraim. Further, let's go further in the Mitzudos, the very fascinating Mitzudos. The Ace, okay, the Ace Sede Shoyman. What's the Sede Shoyman? The Melachim Aleph Nemar, Omri Melech Yisrael, Kone es Ahar, she conquered. Omri, he relocated the capital to Shoimroin. As a har Shoimroin, the Omar shall also Yeshua called the Af Hasadais. Same thing. They never conquered the Sede of Shoimroin. What? He purchased, but they only purchased the Har of Shoimroin, not the Sede. Uvin Yamin, they will conquer as Agilad. Bin Yamin Yirash as Eretz Agilad. Okay, so this was Gilad. Where's Gilad? Gilad was part of the land that was in the Eder HaYarden. this besides the chelik of Yisrael, Nidalevi Eretz Yisrael, the Eivah Yadin, but Amaravi, Kamosh Amaravi, on the west side, Kamoy Shenemar, Besayf Yechesl, Vnemenat Menashe, Yosha Gilad, Yamdu Al Nachalosam, the Eivah Yadin Hamaravi, Im Kol Hashvatim Kamosh Shenemar Sham. Okay, so it says there that they already had a chelik in Gilad. It means an additional chelik in Gilad, which is going to be on the west side. Why is one in the west? It was on the east side. So why is he calling it the Maravi? I'm not sure. One more time. The zemul vada chelik ritzua nitin loy bi eretz yisrael be'ever hayardein ha-ma'aravi. Okay, on the west side. Fine. In the regular, a Gilad over here refers to the part that's on the west, the main part of eretz yisrael. So this Gilad, he's telling us over here, is a new Gilad. There is the old Gilad, and there is the new Gilad. A different section of Gilad has not yet been conquered. This is the fascinating parish of the Malbo, of the Mitzudos. Let's read the pasuk again one more time, because he's saying a lot of chidushim, a ton of chidushim, which is not... What?
When he says that
they were strong. They were too strong. They were stronger than us. Correct. This is the Farish. This is in Shoiftim. They called the Rechev Barzel. Okay, vaguely. Once upon a time, I learned Shoiftim. I vaguely. It echoes in my head. The Rechev Barzel, iron chariots. Okay, they had the beast. President has the beast head. They had special fleet of tanks.
Right, exactly.
They had a special fleet of chariots, which were represented their power, the military power, which the people in the time of Yeshua were unable to overcome. Now, not what do they could not overcome? The whole battle was a spiritual battle. It was nisim v'niflois. They were able to wipe out the Canaanite. Obviously, the miracles that took place on the battlefield paralleled the spiritual battles that they were living through, and that the spiritual battle that was necessary to win in order to succeed in conquering the Sedei Shomrein and the Sedei Ephraim was not won, and if those spiritual battles were lost, that's why these military battles, these physical battles, were lost on the field. And this will first be achieved in the times of Moshiach. Let's read the pasuk again inside, based upon the interpretation that we have now learned from the Mitzudos, which is very, very deep. So he reads as follows. One more time. Pasuk Yutes, V'yarshu. They will inherit. Who is the subject of the word V'yarshu? It is the Beis Yaakov. Us here today in this room. They will inherit Hanegev, the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. What is the southern portion? Mazeh. The pasuk tells us it is Es Har Esav, the mountain of Esav. Can we identify that? Not that I know, but there's a place called the Har Esav. What else? We will also inherit. It's as if you have to repeat the word V'yarshu. Repeat the word again. V'yarshu. They will inherit. Who's the subject? Again, Yaakov, Hashefela. What is the Shefela? The pasuk defines the Shefela as Pelishtim. It's a section of land that is still occupied by the Pelishtim.
Is that the valley?
I don't think it's clear what this is. It's not known what this is. And by the way, the Pelishtim are long gone. The Pelishtim historically left the world scene long, long ago. There's no such thing today. We read in Tanakh about the Pelishtim, there are no Pelishtim anymore. The Pelishtim ceased to exist probably 2,000 years ago, even more. They no longer, what we call the Palestinians today is not the Pelishtim, okay? That's not those are people, we know where they came from. They came from, let's read up on this a while ago. They have nothing to do with the ancient Pelishtim that we read about in Tanakh. Zero.
Of course.
Zero. The Pelishtim that we read about in Tanakh, these people who were very mighty and powerful in Gaza, and they had a unique culture, they worshipped Dagon. And there's so much written about these Pelishtim that you learn about in Tanakh. They're gone. They're gone off the face of the earth. So what does it mean then in this pasuk that when Mashiach will come, we will first inherit the Shefela, and the Shefela is the location of where the remnants of the Pelishtim are hanging out. I don't know what it either means, just the name of a land, a piece of territory, or maybe it means that there are people, maybe they're not the Pelishtim, but there are people who still identify whose ideology is still in tune with the ideology of the Pelishtim of ancient times. I don't know. All it says here is that when Mashiach will come, the Jewish people will inherit the Shefela, and the Pasuk then defines what is the Shefela. The Shefela is Es Pelishtim. Next, the Yarshu.
I
have to wait and see. What? You want
to
say that Gaza is the Pelishtim? Who knows? Maybe Gaza was the capital. Gaza was the capital of the Pelishtim. So you want to say that the land, I believe this to be very true, is that the land causes the people, that the land itself has a supernatural, something that cannot be defined, cannot in this, effect upon the people that live there. Even though the Pelishtim are long gone, any non-Jew, who comes and settles in Gaza will become zombies, like of a horror movie, will become like the ancient Pelishtim, the Pelishtim. They will just come to life. The neshamos of the Pelishtim will enter into their bodies, and they will behave in the same manner as those ancient Pelishtim. Because the land is saturated with who they were, and their wickedness and their cruelty has penetrated the soil of the earth, and someone that wants to become the Pelishtim, all you got to do is live there. And naturally, it will seep into your blood. Now, if you're going to say this, I said, so how come we want to take it over then? Why would we? The truth is, you can say that the whole Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael was occupied by the Canaanim, were all one of the same wicked people over there, the Zara, pagans, and who knows what. Well, the answer is, well, we have the Torah. We have the antidote. And when you have the antidote, then the land, Adarab, it works to your favor. Living in that land with whatever's been saturated, when you add the magic ingredient of Torah and Yiras Shamayim, it can propel you to heights unimaginable. But if you don't have the antidote of the Torah, Mitzvos Yiras Shamayim, and you just have the land itself, it's Sakonis Nefashis. To live in that, in the whole area of Israel is like that. Not just Gaza. Gaza is just probably, you know, more so than other parts of Eretz Yisrael. I don't know, maybe, maybe not. But it's not for nothing that the people, the Palestinians living in Gaza, are just not human beings. They're just, I don't know what to call them. Chai. I mean, the chai is already a compliment. That's already a compliment to call them a chai. You don't hear in the news the Bronx Zoo making the animals in the Bronx Zoo making trouble. So I don't know what you want to call them, but there's something about that part of Eretz Yisrael. The people there, they're just zombies. They have no mind. Their behavior is just beyond understanding. Why? Who are we not? I like to think it's because, listen, this was the capital of the Pelishtim. About money?
No, in this case, it's not all about money.
It's not all about money.
Here, we're saying it's
people, the Pelishtim, we study, learn Tanakh, Pelishtim, it's all about the Pelishtim. David HaMelech is fighting his whole life against the Pelishtim. Everyone, and the Pelishtim, the cruelty, the wickedness, and the whole of what went on is unbelievable. And what was the capital of the Pelishtim? Where was the capital? Gaza. Okay, Gaza. That's where their capital was. So the earth is saturated with everything you learn about the Pelishtim in Nach. It's saturated. You live there. The land affects you. The land affects you. By the Makos, coming Pesach, we learn about the Mak of Oroiv. And what does it say about Oroiv? It wasn't enough that Hashem brought the animals to Egypt. When Hashem brought the animals, He brought the earth with them. You have to have the habitat. They have to bring when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they came to Mitzrayim. They came with the earth. The earth, in order that the animals should feel comfortable living. Rachamim. So who are we not to say, that there's something about it? And this is very fascinating. That's what Sylvie here is that these days, Yash Shela. Okay, give our next part of the process. Now, the Yarshu.
How can you live in Germany?
I told you, we have the antidote of Torah. How can you live in Gaza? How come Jews? How come they will live this part of Eretz Yisrael? It's part of our boundaries. The answer Hashem gave it to us. The answer is when you have Torah and Yiras Shemayim, that is the antidote not to be affected by it. And not only that, Adarava, what is there are koichos of kedusha, treasures that are there which you can use that to propel you to lofty heights. But you need to have the right tools, Torah. Mitzvos Yerushalayim. The Palestinians don't have that.
Yeah.
So they're living in soil that's been saturated with sin from their predecessors of the ancient pagans. Okay, now let's go further in the pasuk V'yarshu. V'yarshu, going back in the subject of the word V'yarshu, again refers to whom?
The truck of the V'yarshu HaNegev.
Okay.
Doesn't that put it together rather than
separate? No, it goes together. V'yarshu, hanegeh, v'yarshu, kadma v'yazla. So you want v'yarshu, according to the mitzudos, you're suggesting that it should be broken. You're saying very good. Yes, a really good question. According to the way the mitzudos chayish in the pasuk, v'yarshu, it's a period. V'yarshu, they will inherit. Who's the subject? The Jewish people. What will they inherit? Hanegev. So you want to suggest that v'yarshu, hanegev. I don't know. I don't think it's Shakasha. I think it's okay. The Yerusha Negev, the Jewish people, will inherit the Negev. And what is the Negev? The Negev is Eshar Esav. Then we repeat the word V'yarshu again. V'yarshu, the Jewish people will inherit the Hashafela. And what is the Hashafela? Es Pilishtim. I don't know. The Trub seems to be okay. The Trub doesn't seem to be in your face a difficulty. Okay, now we go further. The Eis, Sedei, Shoim, the Yarshu, what else will the Jewish people inherit? They're going to inherit the Sedei Ephraim. Okay, again, we explained they can inherit this. What do you mean the Sedei Ephraim? Relative to the Har Ephraim. The Har Ephraim was already conquered in the time of Yahushua, but they were never able to conquer the Sedei Ephraim because of the Rechev Barzel. What else will they conquer? The Eis Sedei Shoimroin, the Har Shoimroin, they conquered or they purchased, but not the Sedei Shoimroin. And then Uvin Yamin, he will conquer Es Hagila. Now I want to make one point before we see the Mefarshim, the Drush, and that is notice here we're giving credit to Binyamin, who was left out in the previous pasuk. In the previous pasuk, we spoke about Yaakov and Yosef, the Hoya Veis Yaakov Eish, Uveis Yosef Lehova. And we discussed that it was not just Uveis Yosef, it was that all of the Shvatim until Yosef. Doesn't just mean one Shevet. Yaakov is a fire. Yaakov has a problem. Yaakov wants to go home. He needs to come home, go back where he belongs, to his roots. Eretz Canaan, to his father and mother Yitzchak and Rivka. He can't. He's vulnerable. What's his vulnerability? Esav will kill him. He needs to create the Shiftei Kah. So he has children. He has Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Gad, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulon, Don, Osher. Who did I leave out?
Naphtali.
Anyone else? Who did I leave out?
Asher.
I said Asher. So he has the 11 Shvatim. And then, now comes Yosef. Now Yosef is here. Now I'm ready to go. So when it says in the pasuk before Yosef, it doesn't just, and Yosef, and forget about everyone else, forget about it. It means everyone until Yosef. All Yaakov is Eish, and then all of his children up until his 11th child, Yosef. Now you have a Lehava. Now we're ready to roll. Everyone get into the car, get into the van, get on the bus. We're going back to Eretz Canaan. Here we come. How come, what about Binyamin? Where's Binyamin? He's not necessary. We discussed this yesterday. Binyamin's not necessary. Binyamin, we're going to say for later on. Binyamin, we do not need in Golos the Nida of Binyamin. The Nida of Binyamin is what we'll need in order to bring Mashiach, but we're not yet up to Mashiach. Mashiach comes later. Purim was already the beginning roots of Mashiach, and that's why Purim is Binyamin. But we left out Binyamin. Binyamin did not get honorable mention. Everyone got honorable mention, because everyone is included in Yosef, because Yosef here means everyone until Yosef. Now we give credit to the one that we left out by name. The one that we left out by name was Binyamin. Here he gets special mention. Uvinyamin es ha-Gilad. Binyamin will inherit Gilad. Okay, on page 396. 396. Now, what's the significance of that? Remains to be seen, but it's important to take note that he here is being given honorable mention because he was the only one that was left out in the previous pasuk. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yitas Yerusha Negev Yisrael Shohayu Yoshem Bedroima Shal Eretz Yisrael Yerushu Eshar Esav Shu Bemetzer Daroim in the south boundary. Period. Now notice this is the way I translated the pasuk when we started, not like the Mitzudois David. The Yerushu HaNegev means the Jewish people who are living in the Negev.
Wow.
Okay? Not like we just spent half an hour going through the Mitzudos, that the word Yerushu, you put a period after the word of Yerushu, and HaNegev is what they will inherit. No. The Negev is part of the word the Yerushu. The Jewish people, they, who, Beis Yaakov, who are currently living in the Negev, Yisrael Shehoyu Yerushim B'droima Shel Eretz Yisrael, in the times of Mashiach, they will inherit Yershu, they will inherit Eshar Esaf, Shuhu B'met Sedom, they will inherit what's in their region. The Jews of the south will inherit the neighbor in the south. Who is our neighbor in the south? Har Seir. That's what they will inherit. Uvenei HaShvela, the Jewish people who are living in the Shvela, in the lowlands, Yershu, they will inherit as Eretz Pelishtim. They will inherit what's their neighboring territory. Now, where is the Shvela, the lowland? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to by the Shvela, but whatever it is, they will inherit their neighbors, which are going to be the Pelishtim, wherever those Pelishtim may be, whatever that means. As we said, it's not too clear what we refer to by the Pelishtim. Yeah?
How is that any different from what we explained earlier about the coastal plain?
No, it's very different. In the Mitzudo Stavah, when it said v'hashvela, we added a word in the middle of the pasuk. The Yerushu HaNegev, Yerushu period. What will they inherit? HaNegev. What is the Negev? Eshar Esav, period. Next, add a word in the pasuk. The Yerushu, the Jewish people will inherit, period. What will they inherit? Answer, HaShvela. They will inherit the Shvela, which is Es HaPelishtim. According to Rashi, it's HaShefela means not that they will inherit the Shefela. The people, the Jewish people who are living in the Shefela, will inherit Es Pelishtim, the Pelishtim. Okay? It's, according to Rashi, HaShefela is describing a description of the Jews, where they live. The Jewish people who are living in the Shefela will inherit Es Pelishtim. According to the Mitzudos, the Shefela is what we will inherit. And the subject is going back in the beginning of the pasuk, the word V'yarshu. The Jewish people will inherit. What will they inherit? Answer, they will inherit the Shefela. Then the pasuk defines, and what is the Shefela? The Shefela is Es Pelishtim. Okay, that was the mitzvah. It's very similar. You're right. I mean, the bottom line is it's very just a matter of how you translate the words. But the principle, we're not seeing any big chidushim as far as the difference in the pshat and the pasuk. Yisrael shayu yoshim. That's why Mr. Planicky is very good. Is that why can we look at the Ta'ameh Hamikra and use that as a proof either to Rashi or to the mitzudas? Which one fits better? Which one of the Ta'ameh Hamikra? What's a mafsik? Which one of these words is like a period in the Talmud Mikra? Which one it leads into the next word? Why can that serve as a bayur to give us an approach to understand the pshat in the pasuk. Let's go further. So one person, the word Rashi, Yishol Yoshev the Derbe Shol Yisrael Yerushu as Har Esav Shulim Etz Adonam Uvnei Hashefela. The Jewish people living in the Shvela Yerushu as Eretz Pelishim Vias Har Ephraim Vias Har Shomrayim. They will inherit all of these things. So that's very different than the Mitzudos. The people living in the Shefela will inherit everything. The Pelishtim and Stay Ephraim, and they will inherit Stay Shomrayim. Uvin Yomin as Gilad, Uvinei Menashe, the children of Menashe, Shehoisa Eretz Gilad Shelohem. Yivshitu lohem mehalo ligvul oisecha shel eretz Yisrael b'mizracha. They will expand their borders on the east side. And notice, this is very different than the Mitzudos, because he focused on, what did he focus on? What was the obvious question the Mitzudos David dealt with? Binyamin lives in the west of the Yarden, not on the east side of the Yarden. Gilad is on the east side of the Yarden. So the Mitzvah David says something here does not add up. Binyamin, who lives on the west, is going to inherit Gilad on the east? That's not your territory. What's going on over here? So that's why the Mitzvah David said a tremendous chiddush. There is the old Gilad and there's the new Gilad. There's a new Gilad that will exist on the west.
We have other laws which we have learned.
A new division.
About the expansion and.
Well, the whole land will be divided very deeply. End of Yechezkel, we spent so much time on that. End of Yechezkel, there's a whole new division, a whole new order of how the land will be divided. So how does that coincide with this? I don't know. Maybe could be different stages. There are different stages of inheritance. There's different, that those psukim in Yechezkel are very esoteric, referring to Olam Haba, after Tchiyas HaMesim. Who knows? Maybe this stage of inheritance refers to before the Tekufa of Tchiyas HaMesim, before Tekufa, where it's going to be more of a spiritual world. Then there's going to be a redivision. Here it's mentioning there's going to be the Jewish people will repossess what they had before. And that begs the question, something here does not add up. Binyamin lives, is supposed to be living on the west side. And Gilad is on the east side. It's a different shul. Okay? It's a different community. The west side and the east side. Okay, so what's going on over here? So what did the Mitzvot David say? Shachin Chedish? There's another Gilad. There are two Gilads. Rashi did not go for that. There are two Gilads. And Rashi says that Gilad on the east side will have a bridge. It will be a nice bridge going over the Yarden. Okay, GWB will be transported over there. It will be able to connect the east with the west. And Gilad, it will be called Gilad, not because it's a new Gilad, it's just going to be an expansion of the old Gilad, and it will span over the Yarden. That's what Rashi appears to say. Ubinyamin es a Gilad, Binyamin ubinei Menashe. Now, wherever Gilad is not the territory of Binyamin. Gilad is the territory of Menashe. There's Ruvein, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe. They took territory on the Eder Hayarde. And Menashe took Gilad. So what here is Binyamin doing with Gilad? Uvnei Menashe, Shehoyel Eretz Gilad Shelohem, Yivshitu Lohem Mehalo Ligvuloseha, Shel Eretz Yishol Bimizracha. Their boundary will expand to the east side. And when their boundary expands to the east side, it seems from the parish of the Rashi, they're going to meet up with Binyamin. Binyamin is going to also share that territory. Now here is alluding to this, another very interesting idea. There is a relationship between Binyamin and Menashe. What is that relationship all about? That's a very interesting thing. What?
That's the Yosef and Binyamin.
They're both children of Ephraim, of Yosef. Yosef has two sons, Ephraim and Menashe. Sorry, Menashe. Yosef b'nei Rachel. You mean you said b'nei Rachel? Rachel. Rachel has two children. Who are the two children? Binyamin is the youngest, and the older is Yosef. Yosef turns into Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim, we know, represents what? From Ephraim, they would be Ephraim. Yosef was a very complicated person. He was a Renaissance man. What was Ephraim? What came from Yosef? Two parts. Ephraim, the Talmud Chacham, and Menashe, the Askan. Correct? That's what Chazal tell us. In Mitzrayim, what did Ephraim do? Ephraim sat the whole day and learned Torah at the knees of his grandfather, Yaakov. What did Menashe do? He was the administrator. He was the Mishnah Lamelech. He was running the country. He was the Askan. Now, Binyamin, what's Binyamin? Binyamin is Kula Kodesh. Yidid Hashem. Binyamin is beyond. Okay, Binyamin is Yidid Hashem, Yishkoi Levet HaCholav. If you would say which of the two are more similar to Binyamin, Ephraim or Menashe, which one would you match up? A Shidduch. Ephraim. Because Ephraim was Kula Torah, and Binyamin was certainly Kula Torah, even more than that. Binyamin was the Yidid Hashem, Yishkoi Levet HaCholav. The Kodesh HaKodashim is resting in the Chalik of. In the chelek of what? A Binyamin. So which one would you be mezarek? You make a shidduch between, you do Ephraim and Binyamin. It's not what it says here. It says here, it's an incredible pasuk. What Rashi is saying is that the boundary, what does it mean, Gilad? Gilad is the territory of Menashe. Menashe is the CEO. Okay, he is... He's where the money is. Okay, that's where the money is. He's in charge of all the business affairs of Klal Yisrael. He was running Mitzrayim under the authority of Yosef. That didn't change. That's the nature of Menashe, to make sure that the Jewish people are financially secure. Everyone has a job. Everyone has what they need. Everyone can survive. No one's going to drown. Everyone has Kimcha de Pischa. Everyone's going to survive. And Binyamin, Yidid Hashem. He doesn't even know the Tzura Shel Matbeah. You know what that means? We don't even know what a dollar bill looks like. He's fully immersed in the study of Torah. You have no connection to the world of physicality. Who is going to be the Zivug? Who's going to be the partnership Yimos HaMashiach? It's Menashe, the biggest Askan of them all, with the biggest Talmud Chacham of them all, and Binyamin. Okay, that's going to be like the Yisachar Zvulun relationship. That's seemingly what the pasuk here is saying according to the parish of Rashi, because it says over here, it says Ubinyamin es Hagilad. According to Rashi, Gilad is the territory of Menashe. Menashe is on the east side. Binyamin is on the west side. So what does it mean they're going to inherit? It means, Rashi says, Gilad, Menashe is going to expand, is going to spread until they meet up with Binyamin. Menashe is going to make sure Binyamin has what he needs to continue to be the Yedid Hashem, Yishkoin Lovetach Olav. If there's no Emein Kemach, Ein Torah. Who's going to make sure there's Kemach? Who for the Torah of Binyamin, for the Beis HaMikdash? Menashe. The Beis HaBinyamin is the Beis HaMikdash. This is Yerushalayim. Menashe is going to spread, their financial empire is going to spread from outside the Eiver HaYarden all the way into Yerushalayim. Meaning, all of the effort of Menashe will be for one purpose, to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokom HaShos HaShchina, is financially secure. All of the Kohanim have life insurance, have health care, have a stipend. Medicare. They have everything that they need, that they can serve Hashem in dignity. It's a very fascinating insight into this simple pshat. Whoever imagined such a thing? This thing, that's what Rashi is saying.
The Masechet Shkalim says that one was appointed in the Beit HaMikdash, He was a rofe me'ayim, because the Kohanim were eating so much
meat. They needed doctors.
He could choose for them a kind of wine, not to be shikor.
To make sure they should be healthy. Okay, let's stop over here. To be continued.